This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Growing up in the church, did you ever see an exorcism? Like, was it?
Yeah.
You did. Welcome to Kesha and the Creepies. Today is one of my best friends and a very special guest, Ben Abraham, singer, songwriter, artist, extraordinaire.
I'll take it. Whatever descriptors you've got.
One of my favorite singers and songwriters.
Aw.
One of my top favorites.
That's very kind. You have great taste. So I receive that as high praise.
I remember when you sent me a video not that long ago of you singing Praying. And I was damn it, Ben, you can't sing my song that we wrote together better than me. Well, I'm about to look like a fool.
Nobody sings it better than you, just so we're clear.
Not true. It's on my Instagram if anybody wants to see it.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. I mean, what an amazing experience that was.
I know. So we met, for those listening who don't know our backstory, we met because we wrote Praying together with Ryan Lewis. And that turned into like probably the most important song of my life and a very pivotal moment for me. And from what you've told me, it was a cool moment for your life too. It's just like a...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, life-changing.
Life-changing. Same. Super life-changing for me. And then you performed at the Grammys with me, which was...
Isn't that wild? And three years ago, like last week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That feels like... I've done a lot of dumb, crazy, wild, insane shit. Uh-huh. That was definitely, I think, the scariest thing I've ever done in my life.
I get that. Yeah, it's funny. I feel really lucky that I had that experience. Because I guess as a musician, there's some part of our brains, even if you're like, who cares about awards and all that stuff, there's still some part of your brain that's like, that's a goal in your career. I feel really lucky that I was first exposed to it kind of in secret and in hiding through you, because it really dispelled it for me. Like, it was walking in, you have all these expectations. And I remember there being a moment before it even started where I was standing. I remember you were in that dressing room upstairs and I I'd come to say hi to you. And then I walked out onto your balcony and looked over the space. And I was like, oh, it's like, it's a show in a big arena and it's fun. And it's not that, it's not everything. This is not like what all music is about. It was something kind of, I feel lucky that I was exposed to it then. So that, you know, if I'm ever lucky enough to go back there with my own work, I feel like I've already gone through the feeling of it once before.
So yeah.
I'm not going to have this like intense kind of build up.
It's like a mythical thing. It's like seeing the Loch Ness Monster or something.
Yeah.
And then once you're like up there in it, you're like, oh, okay.
Well, or also just like you something see, it's that like, you see, it's like, it's not really a monster. It's just like two old dudes with like a stick and a broom and like, but we've all agreed that like, it's really important and that's great.
Yeah. I believe people love ritual, like marriage or baptism or Christmas, whatever it is. We like reasons to celebrate. I have like this very weird thing where art isn't a competition.
Yeah.
But then it is, because there's number ones and then there's number twos, and you come in at number two and you're bummed that it's not number one, instead of being like, holy shit, my song's number two.
Yeah.
So it's
so
weird.
Hard when it gets ranked. Like it's the idea of it being a race.
Yeah.
When it's like, and I mean, and I know the
competition element.
You feel this, like, how do you compare? Like some of my favorite musicians in Melbourne, where I'm from and where I am at the moment, are like weird ass noise artists who like can stand on a stage and create these really challenging, crazy noisescapes, soundscapes. And they're so inspiring. And then I can take that and filter it through my lens and maybe incorporate some of that noise into a song that might become a big pop song.
Yeah.
How do you say that one is more important than the other? Especially if one kind of inspired the other thing. And it's crazy that we live in a world that forces us to compete with each other and like rank those things.
Well, I'm like a big fan of not competing anymore.
Yeah.
Like I've decided, for better or for worse, this could be the end of my career, but I'm not going to compete with anybody anymore. It's so exhausting. It is so exhausting. So much energy put into something that isn't even, like, we created it. It's not really real.
Yeah.
Like, I had that same moment at the Grammys when you were there, and I just couldn't stop crying hysterically. Because I was so nervous, and I would like look out and Elton John's like walking down the hallway, and I was like, what is life? This is so weird. And then you just get out on the stage and you play a song, just like you get out on stage and play a song at like a radio show or any other place, like at the coffee shop. And you realize it's like, wow, it's like this whole big thing that we constructed to make a big ordeal about art.
And you realize that you look back, I don't know who won best. I don't know if I remember a lot of the awards. I mean, I remember who beat us.
Yeah. But in terms of we do. Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
It was weird and it was scary. And I can't really say it was fun because I felt like I was going to shit my pants and I was wearing a white suit. And it was quite a time that we lived through together, and we did it. And we lived it.
And it's an immortal moment now.
But I didn't realize that you were raised religious Pentecostal, because I was raised like Catholic school, and then like would just go to like the super churches, and I was just trying to figure out which one fit, and like none of them fit just right, and I was so mad about it. But I didn't know you had a religious upbringing too. And then now knowing that, when I listen to your music again, I'm like, oh, I hear that. I hear like that, like a little gospel element, or just I hear the church in it.
Yeah. I like that.
I know. I had no idea.
Well, faith is such a, especially right now, it's such a hectic time to be affiliated with any of that stuff and to even talk about it. There are so many, people get so angry about this subject. And I feel like I was raised, so like my parents are ministers. They still are ministers. And they
Pentecostal?
Were, Yes, but that also means something so different in Australia to America. Like the Pentecostal church in America, as I'm sort of learning, is like snake handlers and like... It includes this kind of storm the Capitol, bring your guns, fundamentalist part. That doesn't happen in Australia as much. I feel nervous even kind of saying that I kind of have grown up in that because my parents are also like really smart, thoughtful, beautiful people who weren't raised Christians. They both had like radical conversions. And they're both musicians. So I was raised in a sort of art-infused spirituality, certainly music-infused spirituality, more than the we're at war with the world and we will conquer. Like, it wasn't that at all. It was like, God is real and big, and how can we possibly understand what any of that means? And music is part of the search.
I love that. And I think that religion is a scary topic, but, /and.
Yeah.
I think that it's fun to talk about because it's kind of why I made the podcast, is to just talk about like what supernatural things or paranormal or just what are the things that that challenge your worldview. And for me, that's been a mostly spiritual thing. So it's kind of like my little sneaky way to get people to talk about like why they think we're here or what happens after, or like, you know what I mean? So I think just having a nice conversation with somebody about the universe, why should people get so angry about it?
Yeah. Well, I think, I often wonder if some of it is typically religious people have detached from the lived experience part of being a human and have just invested everything into the ideas of how the world should be. Rather than this, I think religion is most interesting when there's like the ideals of like, this is what it could be, but then it collides with the reality of this is what it is. And there's this weird space between those. It's like a tug of war where it's like, okay, we're supposed to, you know, if God tells me that I can be happy and I'm not happy, there's not something wrong with me. It's just, I have to live in the middle of this tug of war between these ideas. And to me, that's interesting. And I think that what we're seeing at the moment is this like rabid fundamentalist, these people that refuse to acknowledge how life is. And they're just like, we all need to live according to the way that this could be and should be. But it's like the world is falling apart in front of you.
And there are some things that are just unprecedented. I mean, not in history, of course, there's been pandemics before, but in my lifetime, our lifetime, I've never seen anything like this. I never knew to expect it. I never knew to prepare for it. It wasn't really on my radar. I was just trucking along doing my thing. So to have like a full stop and be able to take in everything that's going on.
Yeah.
For me has been like very life-changing, really spiritual. And I'm seeing that the more open we are with our humanity, and maybe like, I know me for sure, like TikTok came out when I was 21 or 22. Like, I've done some dumb shit and it's on camera. And I am aware that it was dumb. I am sorry. I am embarrassed. I wish it was not on camera. But that being said, you can also like, I'm a human. Well, I was a young little idiot.
I think this is like, this even ties in a bit with what we're saying. Like, There's you're saying this now with this idea of like what life should be and reflecting on things that you've done that maybe were not in line with what it could be, but that's part of the human experience. And I think it could be one of the things that we celebrate. I mean, obviously I don't want to wade into this too far because this is a fraught conversation, but I think it's okay to look back and be like, I did some really dumb stuff and now I've changed and I've grown, and I'm kind of cool to have documented that. So I'm not the same person now.
That's the thing. You have to be able to grow and learn from your experiences versus, for me, I just see people getting canceled and I'm like, but this is a great opportunity to like grow and change. Isn't that more beneficial than having someone live in shame and guilt for the rest of their life? Like, what about
exactly?
You acknowledge you understand, you learn, you apologize, you mean it, and you act different.
And
I see you learning and growing and trying. That's like why it's always so important for me. It's not like I ever think I'm going to change anybody else's mind.
Yeah.
Like even on this or through my songs. No, I'm not going to change anybody's mind, but I'd like to I like to try to have you see something from a different perspective. And this is my perspective.
Yeah.
So try it on. If you don't like it, throw in the trash.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what the point of all of this was, to be honest. I forget I'm supposed to be interviewing you and I don't remember what the question was. It was something about the Pentecostal church. Oh, like, what does it mean? Because you were saying it's really different in Australia. So it's just like, because here in the South, it's like a little more extreme. So give me your version.
Okay, I'll give you this is the theological, this is very funny that I'm talking with Kesha about this. So I love this. And we can edit it.
You also don't have to. You can also skip.
No, no, no. So just so you know, I have no problem talking about this stuff because we can get into this. I really am at a point in my life where I move between being like, yeah, I think I believe this. And then being like, actually, nothing is real. The universe is completely material. When we die. And, you know, so I sort of.
Same.
I'm quite comfortable moving between those. So basically the difference between the Pentecostal church and say the more broad church, beside the kind of branding of Pentecostalism, is that the story goes that when Jesus came to earth, he told all these great stories and kind of started a community of people that he was like, when I'm gone, you can keep going. And then he died and then went to heaven, came back to life, went to heaven. It's the story. And then rather than just going and starting the community straight away, a whole bunch of people waited. And then like, this is so funny that I'm getting into this, but it'll help you understand the kind of spirituality culture that I've grown up in. The concept of Pentecostalism is that they didn't just have the stories about Jesus to tell, but like literally the Spirit of God came. And it says that like there was like fire above their heads and they spoke in tongues and all this kind of stuff. So Pentecostalism is supposed to be this hyper spiritual version of Christianity. And then over the centuries, it's kind of waxed and waned. And then you get some churches that have done away with that stuff altogether and are like, we don't believe in any kind of spiritual element. We just believe in the like teachings of Jesus and it's a bit more chill and just like community focused. So in theory, the Pentecostals are the ones that are like clapping their hands and like doing exorcisms and seeing the kind of crazy stuff.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcast.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm like really here for the crazy stuff. Yeah, I'm here for all the crazy stuff. Like, A, okay, the Holy Spirit, that feeling, as I love that terminology for it, because I don't know about you, but if you've ever, like, when I hit that high note when we were recording praying and I made everybody leave the room, I just opened my mouth and that fell out. I didn't know she lived in there.
Yeah.
I didn't know she existed. And in that moment, I was like, oh, damn, that wasn't me. That was something or something else.
I absolutely believe. So, like, again, I stop me if I ever get too into this, but it's, you know, I think that some people would say that the Holy Spirit aspect of God is the creative energy, is the kind of creative part of life. I don't know if you remember Elizabeth Gilbert, the author who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, gave a TED talk years ago.
And you've told me about this. I haven't seen
it. It's so great. And she talks about the idea of artists have, we impose the idea of genius on people. We say they are a genius. That person is a genius. She said that that's quite a contemporary idea, that actually traditionally the concept was that a person had a genius, which I think she even described it. Some people wrote about it as if it was like almost like a demon that lived in their house or something that fed them ideas. So that rather than like you being the source of your genius, some crazy mathematician just has these ideas implanted into their brain from an outside source. And she talked about how that is kind of liberating as artists, because it takes away the responsibility we have to wrestle with ourselves and pull out ideas. And actually, instead of reaching in here, we kind of reach up there looking for the ideas to drop into us. And she talked about, there's this poet, I mean, people should just go and watch the talk, but I loved when she told the story of some poet who described the process of writing a poem where she was out in the fields in her house in the country, wherever she was, and she could feel this poem like barreling toward her over the plain, and ran into the house as she felt this wind of an idea passing through her, like reached her hand up and grabbed it and pulled it back to earth, writing the poem, pulled it backwards, grabbed the tail, pulled it backwards, and wrote the poem in reverse. Because this idea passed through her. And to me, like, that's the, if there is a Holy Spirit, that's the function of that. And that is why it doesn't happen all the time, but you would have experienced this, and you've just said that you have. Sometimes you're performing or creating or writing, and there's such a flow and such a thing that comes on you that you're like, that wasn't me. Like, it was me, but something like a wind came through me. And
it was like a possession. I feel like when you just told that story, I have to tell you, I got chills from like the top of my head down my neck and down my legs and arms. And that's, I've never said this out loud to anybody, so let me just tell it to the whole world. That's my secret for me and my higher consciousness, or whatever you want to call it. That's my like secret tell. I'm like, okay, when something is like really just true, just give me full body chills, and then I'll know it's like for real true. So when you were saying that, I got my tell.
I mean, I grew up being taught this is why like artists are so sensitive as people, because we're vessels. We're supposed to be filled with something for it to pour out of us. That's why we're so susceptible to substance abuse and different addictions, because we have the capacity to hold so much of that creative energy.
I just feel everything all the time. And I feel like, I mean, you tell me, but I just feel like I notice every little tiny thing to the point where it's like, I'm so annoyed with myself. Like, it's like, just stop noticing everything.
Yeah.
But I think that's almost like, because I sometimes think I'm being psychic, but I think I'm just like uber perceptive. yeah, at everything.
But I mean, that's part of it as well. Like as creatives, we are, I feel like it's the, I don't know if this has been your experience. I find as an artist, I'm forced into this weird outsider's perspective on every moment of my life. I think of it like, like if you have a photo, if you take a photo of a party, there's the people in the photo enjoying the party, but the person that took the photo had to be outside the moment to capture that. And I feel like as artists, sometimes we're kind of forced to both be at the party and having a great time, but there's this other part of our brain that's constantly observing everything. It's like you're saying, this heightened awareness all the time. But I think that's the stuff, that's what qualifies us for those moments. For that, we have this space in our brains that when we need it and when we're called upon to become the vessel, we just, it gets filled with that stuff. And, you know, I mean, I chase those moments in my life. Like you were saying, about singing the high note, where you're just, you get to the end and it's the best. It's like a high because you're like, I don't know how that, happened. I don't know what just came over me.
That's where my self-confidence comes from. I'm like, that one time 6 years ago, I opened my mouth and sang that one note. But like, they're just like little tiny moments like that that happen like not very often for me. Yeah. Feels like you're being struck by lightning.
Yeah.
I feel like your genius probably is more active. Mine has been dormant and depressed lately, but I'm trying to give her some. Remember when you hit the high note? Okay, we got this. But like, it's moments like that that are like, they make me proud to be myself.
Yeah.
Just when you impress yourself. And I don't know, it's just really weird. Like this past year, I just have been like, feeling that like Holy Spirit. I didn't know that was a Pentecostal thing, but I've been feeling that spirit come and go more often. But you can't summon it. It comes to you. It's like a cat.
Yes.
But like when we're writing, okay, we were writing in my backyard, writing songs. Yeah. And I was trying to play the saxophone. Oh no, what do you think I'm gonna say?
Oh, no, wait, say you go. No. Go.
Which thing? Is it just when you're standing on the side of the pool going like this with your eyes closed singing to the trees? It was like my favorite thing.
That was nothing. I mean, there was nothing religious going on there. I just, every now, it doesn't happen every time. That is so funny. So we were writing this song. And I was so feeling it. And so like, I was really connecting with, because I sort of, sometimes my approach, not all songs are like this, but some songs, I feel like we're finding them. I feel like I'm like, so literally this is what I do. Like, I almost feel like the song exists and my job is to kind of close my eyes and eliminate other sources of information and like feel the song, right? It's like the elephant in the room and the six blind guys feeling the elephant and they're kind of trying to get the shape of it. I sometimes songs come to me like that. And I was in those moments. So we were writing and I was pacing across your backyard and I felt like the song was there. And I remember like singing it and just kind of feeling it out, finding like, is it here? And you kind of go, no, it's not there. Is it? There's something. So I was just lost in this moment. And then I remember kind of like looking up. And you and Drew were like,
it was beautiful. As someone that fully knows this feeling, like it was beautiful because it's something you can't really explain or touch. It's just all feeling.
It's eliminating. It's not the head. You're not sitting there doing the math on, oh, we've said this bit and we've said this bit. And if we've gone to this note, we should go. Like, even though those things are so helpful, sometimes just in the moment, you can just close your eyes and it's like you're looking for a current in a river and you're like, there it is. And it starts to pull you along a bit.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Yes, or I get really excited that I like can't keep up with my own brain. Like you said something earlier, I have to re-listen to this, and I was like, oh, that's a good song title. I'm gonna call you after we're done with this and make you write the song with me. But I do think that the songs that we've written, ironically, just happen to always have this very spiritual nature to them, because they're about like fundamental sides of our humanity.
Yeah.
Except for the one where you go, ha, ha,
oh my God. That's, which I still think is, that's one of the best things
fun
we've made.
Times.
Sometime the world will hear that song and
I
be the better for it.
I love that song.
Yeah.
It's a great song. It's very different than praying, I have to say.
That's the sort of the downside to the intensity that I think, or at least maybe it's just the last few years of my life, I've been so interested in that search. I definitely could have a little bit more fun in my music and creative.
Do whatever the wind throws at
I
you.
Mean, yeah, I can't do anything else. I've tried. I tried the LA, you know, when I first moved to LA and was writing songs with all these different people, I tried to like put the coat on that was like, in the club.
For you? Like for your own music?
No.
I can't even imagine this.
Just to give people what I was like, this is obviously what you want. And then I realized, I was like, that's just not, I'm not anywhere near as good as the guys that do that. So I'm just going to be the.
No, Ben, I think you're just too honest and like spiritually on a specific quest to like be talking about popping it at the club, unless you're popping it at the club. I personally experienced you usually were like crying together or something.
We did pop it at the club once. There was one.
Oh, okay, we did. Okay, well, and so we'll have one popping at the club song.
Hey!
I love, it was the first time I heard your song Brother Tongue.
Oh yeah.
So it is called.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. And is that have like speaking in tongues in it?
Yeah.
Well, can you tell everybody about it?
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's the song's about the space that exists between us. Like I think of all of life is kind of filled with longing, and there's two types of longing. There's like the longing that's like directed up to something beyond us, and then the longing that's directed horizontally to the like people around us. And the song's inspired by this idea that like you can be so close, you can get as close as you can to other human beings, and there's still this space.
Yeah.
And which to me is a real spiritual, but also a very like human reality. And I wanted, I mean, a big theme of the record, of the whole album, is this quest in spirituality. And I wanted to incorporate stuff that I grew up understanding as God and as spirituality. And so praying in tongues was part of that. And yeah, so there's just a moment in that. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anyone pray in tongues on a record before, but there's this moment where it's like, I love it. People are like, I love that bit of the mouth percussion in it. And I'm like, great. Like if it sounds like beatboxing, then great. And it, I mean, in a sense it is, but it's also like, what I love about the concept of praying in tongues, and I'll bring this up purely because I think it has creative implications. The whole idea of it was, that was like one of the things that arrived at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon people. The first thing they did was pray in tongues. And there's all this mythology around whether it's like good or evil or whatever. What I love about it is if you want to express yourself using your voice, we are forced typically to use words which are instantly reductive. If you say, if I feel something for you and then I say love, that instantly eliminates all the other options and brands that feeling. It kind of squeezes that feeling into a word, which can be very powerful. But sometimes your heart or your soul wants to like express more, especially through like the concept of prayer. What I think is really interesting is like, if you want to ask for something, sometimes it's like, I don't even know what I want to ask for. I don't know what I'm feeling, the anxiety I'm feeling. And if I say I'm scared, it's so much more than scared. If I say I'm unhappy, yeah, it's that reduces it to language. So the concept of praying in tongues, like it eliminates the need for meaning, but it still produces the reaching out. It's still your voice being engaged, trying to like grab something. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, completely.
It's
just want to
like
let you
improvisational.
Finish.
It's like, so in a music, so there is also then singing in tongues, which I put on another song, which is, it eliminates the need to pin down lyrics. It's just, and it's different even to improvisation, because you're not just like jazz scatting according to rules. It's, you're switching off the brain. You're walking through the backyard, just doing this, like reaching for something, but still reaching. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, because I feel like the English language, that's the one it's the only one I know, unfortunately. I know a little bit of Spanish, but not very much. So English can be so anticlimactic. Like, yeah, when I tell someone I love them, it's like, I want to squeeze their faces and, yeah, jump on them and shoot fucking glitter out of my eyeball holes and like,
yeah,
I want to cover them in like this golden rainbow light of goodness and be like, no, you don't understand. I don't just like love you. Like, yeah, I want to make you feel this fucking way that I feel, because, yeah, it's so intense. And yeah, it can be reductive.
And exactly. Like, I mean, we always learn all the time that there's these German words that are like Schadenfreude, or like, one of my favorites was, what's the word? I can't remember it now, but it literally means the sadness that exists between dreaming of the world as it could be and living in the world as it is, like this, like sadness, you know? So like there are languages.
What's the word for that? That's amazing.
I, I'm so annoyed that I can't remember this, but I'll remember it at some point. Text it to me. We can just put it up here on a video.
We're going to put it in text right there.
But you know, like I think, yeah, by nature, language, and even to an extent, music is, I heard a composer describe this. It's a little bit axiomatic in that once you draw the black note on the music line or you say the word, it eliminates the possibility of all the others. And I think, and that can be really powerful, but sometimes as human beings, that's what I love about the concept of speaking in tongues. Why wouldn't we want a language that's just the sound of language and the feeling of language, but it's
the sound of the feeling.
The brain. The brain is switched off. Yeah. So it's just, so, you know, not that you're going to speak gibberish to somebody you love, but certainly musically, I think that if we can engage with these sides of our, as a human being, these like tools that we have, it just opens our minds up to so much creative potential because we're not bound by the confines of the rules of that we've constructed.
You're so smart and fun and I love you. She can jump across the screen and just cuddle you right now. Oh my gosh. No, that's so smart. And I loved the music that the world hasn't heard yet, but they will in May or April.
I guess I don't know.
Whenever they get the pleasure of hearing it.
This year, coming in 2021. This year,
in 2021, they're going to get to hear your, like, I feel like it's a masterpiece. It's like a... exciting. You've been working on it for so long and it's gorgeous to listen to. You can just feel how much you care about it and all of the emotion coming through. It's just,
thank you.
I can't use words. You just have to listen to it.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for you.
It's weird because we finished the album like over a year ago and it's weird sitting with it and you can't help but go through these cycles of like, it's the best thing I've ever done. And then like, this is so unimportant in the scheme of where the world is at. I mean,
everything's unimportant. Yeah. Everything. That's what I've realized is just like everything is the most important. And then like also nothing matters and nobody cares.
Yeah.
So you just find what brings you that like filled with whatever it is that we're all craving. And I feel like sharing that's also a scary process. Like making it is terrifying.
Yeah.
And then sharing it is so scary.
Yeah.
But then it's like, then you birth it into its existence for public consumption. I would highly recommend not ever looking at one comment, but you do what you want. Because at that point, it's like if you birth a baby and it's ugly.
Yeah.
You're like, no, that's a beautiful fucking baby. That's the most beautiful baby in the world. And some jackass who has no good taste.
Yeah.
Could be like, your baby's ugly. And you'd be like, you don't get it.
Yeah.
But now I feel bad about myself. But your baby's like really dope and spiritual and gorgeous. So you don't have to worry. But
thank you. Thank you.
So growing up in the church, did you ever see an exorcism? Like, was it?
Yeah.
You did.
But it's very, I mean, it's not like the movies, right? Like, so this is just how I grew up. They're not like the movies in the sense that there's no like, I don't know, things don't shake in the room, at least as I've experienced. But like, yeah, I've seen people like, I've seen like, teenage girls get like crazy man voices and be like, bah! Yeah.
Really?
And I mean, this is where that part of my brain is like, whether it's a spiritual thing or just some kind of like psychosomatic human science thing, it happens. So like, you can grapple with kind of what the meaning of it all is, but I have absolutely seen, yeah, I've seen people's like eyes roll back and like roll around the floor and like scream. And like, I've seen, we used to, cause my dad is Indonesian and he grew up super spiritual. My dad's not he doesn't, feel things very spiritually, as opposed to like my mom, who's very like very spiritual. But his dad was like a witch doctor, and he grew up surrounded by this stuff. Like Indonesia is such a spiritual. Wait.
Your dad's dad was a witch doctor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he died.
You can't just throw that out there. Go on.
Well, he died when my dad was very young, so I didn't grow up knowing him at all. But I guess I say that to like for people like my dad from Asia and from like that part of the world, spirituality is just a given. There's not really even a debate around like what is and isn't, kind of, you know, which is an interesting thing when you live in the West. And I guess that's part of maybe why I've grown up so spiritual. But yeah, like, so my dad had all that stuff when he was a kid. And we used to, when we would go over and visit like my uncle's church in Indonesia, we would see stuff like that. Just like these sweet old women like come forward and be like, I need you to pray for me. And then as they get prayed for, all of a sudden they're like, I mean, and I can tell you what the idea of it as we were taught is, and then you can grapple with what it really is for yourself.
Well, I think of like going to a Slayer show, but for a grandma.
I guess it's like that. I mean, it's the idea is that there's something tormenting them. If it's like a demon possession thing, it's so funny. I loved listening to the Alice Cooper talk. Some of the stuff he was saying was so, I just know how he's being like, as a Christian, like how he's being taught. Even the way he was like, oh, don't even go near Ouija boards. And like, it's just so funny. It's the stuff that I grew up kind of being told. But the idea is that these people are like tormented by like a spirit that just wants to kind of mess with their head and just torment them. And so when you pray, you're trying to be like, get away from this person. You have no, you know. And then in that process of trying to extract these evil forces, there's like a manifestation of stuff. And it's funny.
What do you mean by a manifest? Like a physical manifestation?
Yeah, but it's their body responding to something spiritual. So I've seen like a friend of mine who was just having a very simple, like, I wasn't even part of it, but I remember kind of stopping in. He was just being prayed for because he was, I guess, dealing with some stuff. And these ministers, he was sitting in the chair really normal and just like, yeah, I just need some prayer. And then in the process of them praying for him, his whole body like tensed. And then he just sort of gets really agitated and like, you know, the breathing sort of... And then, you know, that's when they're like, who am I talking to right now? And it'll be like, nobody. Like if I was going to act it out, that's literally what happens. And you can feel like...
Wait, you were there for this?
Yeah. I wasn't involved. This is so... I feel so like vulnerable as I tell these stories.
No, you don't have to tell me anything you don't want to. No, I can cut anything you want.
Exactly. But I'm fine. I'm just more like, I feel like you're... Like Frances is going to be in the corner being like, what is going on?
No, she's in the corner always doing that face.
Correct.
She's a mask on, so you really can't tell at all. <so.
laughs> She has very expressive eyes, though. Yeah, I've been in the room. I've been in the room for these things, and this is the stuff that, so when, as you get older, between this stuff and then even the like, the amazing spiritual experience I've had through music and things, where even if I'm like, yeah, you know what? I don't believe, if you were to have that moment as you get older with faith, where you're like, I think I don't believe in a lot of this. There are these certain experiences that I look back and I'm like, even if I don't believe it, I can't deny that that happened. I can't say that that didn't. And yeah, I mean, some of the crazy things that we would just see. Yeah. It's, you know.
What else? You're free to tell me all of the things.
Let me think of other.
I mean, an exorcism's that's great. That sounds like it could be a crazy experience. I personally had one done to myself, and it was not nearly that.
What?
I did because, okay, so I.
By whom?
Oh my God. Okay. So this lady had a cat that was really cute. And that's why I now have the stupid cats I have that pee on my bed. Yeah. It started with Mary Alice. Mary Alice from Nashville was like, you have a demon in you. And I was like, oh no. But I did used to go to like.
and I was like, oh no.
Sorry, keep going. I was like, what do I do about it? And she's like, and so she like swung a crystal over my stomach and said a bunch of things, and her cat was there. And then I was like, okay, am I good? And she's like, now I have to do like an exorcism of like your body in your bed and your whole house. So she came and put salt in every doorway, opened up all the doors. She like lit some sort of herb and went around the whole house, and like I was fully like prepared to be like, okay, I'm gonna turn into like the girl from the movie The Exorcist and like some crazy shit's about to happen. But yeah, really, I think I fell asleep. My exorcism was really mellow. But I liked it. To me, it was kind of just like therapeutic to have some lady like pray over you. I do think praying for someone is such, and this is like non-specific to any religion, just praying for someone or like sending them positive energy, I think it's the kindest thing anyone could ever do, to like take their time and their energy to like try to make sure like you're doing okay. I think it's just so sweet.
Yeah.
It's really kind. So for her to just like do that, granted, I was probably paying her like $500, but
yeah, we'll see.
Anyways, it was just like a nice little therapy session is what I looked at it as.
Great. I mean, there's a video that you should go and look up. It's called, firstly, you can just Google exorcisms and you'll see a lot of this stuff. There are some pretty wacky people out there, but there's one video that I think is worth looking at. There's an Aussie journalist called John Safran, S-A-F-R-A-N. And he did this series. He's kind of like a Louis Theroux type journalist. Yeah. He's very like, he's a Jewish guy. He's super lovely and like really amiable as a person. And he did a series where he visited all these different religions and like participated in there. It's called John Safran versus God. And I think maybe he's agnostic or atheistic. I'm not sure. But he visited all these different faith traditions. Like he was crucified in some town in like the Philippines where they literally like nailed through his hands and stuff. Yeah. Super interesting guy. His whole thing was like, I'm just going to go and experience everything. And then the last one he did was this Christian exorcist in America. So he then gets an exorcism. And he's a comedian. So he's very like cynical and sarcastic and very funny. And the video of his exorcism, even to this day, apparently he reflects on it like, I don't know what that was. Because you watch, he's this really, he kind of talks with a bit of a lisp and he's, you know, I went and visited a Muslim cleric. And I like, he's, that's his whole tone of his experience. Yeah. And then you watch him, five guys have to hold him down as he's like, ah! Like, it's wild. And they cut to, they show like his camera crew and stuff just being like, we don't know what's going on. Like, they kind of break the fourth wall and they're like, we've never seen John like this. We don't know what's going on. So it's wild.
Wait,
it's,
hold on. What's that called? So everybody, including myself, can write this down.
John Safran versus God. That's the whole series.
John Safran versus God. Oh my God. I'm so, oh my God. I'm so excited. Oh my God. I think God is one of those words that has so much baggage and like shit on top of it that it's like, I don't even know about that word. Like, it's a beautiful word, but at the same time, it's like, I want to make up a different.
Yeah.
Like how Prince became a symbol. I wish there was just like a symbol. Trying to figure out what it would be that hasn't already been used. If you think of anything,
okay,
send it my way. But that's insane, and I'm gonna watch that. And your, because we're like almost out of time.
Yeah.
Okay. Rapid fire stupid questions.
Great.
Here we go.
Great.
What is invisible that you wish people could see?
Well, maybe I haven't thought this through, but something that's invisible that I wish I could see is bad smells. Because I have no
sense. Oh, my God.
I have no sense of smell. So I wish I could.
I didn't know that. How did I not know that?
That doesn't often come up. Hey, Kesha, how are you doing? What if the verse goes, by the way, I can't smell anything?
You can't smell anything?
I can. I wonder if what I have with smell is how people describe, like, legal blindness. I think I can kind of make out shapes and forms. I can often tell that there is a smell happening. But I remember, like, this is when I knew I had a real problem. When I was having, like, digestion health stuff. And this is a great podcast story. I had to give a stool sample.
I already love it.
Had to give a stool sample, which they give you like a little thing that you like, you screw in and you're supposed to scoop out a bit of poo. And what they told me to do is poop into an ice cream bucket, get the lid of the thing, scoop it. So I did that. Hey, everyone.
I have so many questions, but go on.
And then, so I'm sitting on the toilet. I've got my sample. I put it to the side and then I'm holding this little ice cream container of my poop. And I thought, this is my one chance to find out if I can actually smell.
Oh, so, no.
If there was like cameras, literally there would have been a shot of me like. To this day, I don't know what a poop smells like.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're the perfect boyfriend.
But
holy
it means
shit.
I wash my clothes like after two wears because then I'm paranoid that. You know, I've been told that I don't smell, but that's something. It's happened. Oh. It's happened before with someone's used the bathroom after me and gone, oh, my God. And I was like.
You evoked the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God. This episode is going to be Ben Abraham and I talk about poop. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Well, I think that's a great place to end. So check out Ben Abraham's music at...
Just find my Instagram, Ben Abraham. Let's just do that.
If the Abraham.
Music is good, hopefully you'll just hear it.
It's really, really good.
Thank you.
I can't wait for the world to hear it.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie and Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.